Tonight is our last night in this series of Jesus Is, and it went by very quickly, September to May, and it always goes by quickly, but I so enjoyed this series. I think it might be my favorite of all over almost 40 years. I loved thinking about him and seeing him in different ways each month and being able to commune with him and grow in him. And I hope that those of you who are coming throughout the months that you enjoyed it too. But though this is the end for tonight, we always have summer studies. So there's a little flyer that you can pick up out there and pray about which class to jump into this summer. It's always good to just keep going in the Word and keep going in those small groups with one another so that you can discuss the Word, learn together, and it's just, don't ever stop. Don't ever, ever, ever stop growing and studying in small groups, in big groups. Don't ever. We all need it forever and ever. So tonight, our Jesus is, he is ever present. He is with us. We sang Emmanuel, God with us. He is always present. Jesus, at the end of Matthew, if you brought your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 28, very last chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. He says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And the context of that statement is this promise that he gives to us is after the cross, after the resurrection, before his ascension up into heaven, where he had his disciples with him. And in verse 16, he said that it says the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. He said, "Go wait for me in Galilee." So that's where they went, and they waited for Jesus. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came and he spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, and now go. Therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." So here you have these 11 disciples of Jesus who had been with Jesus physically there with him for 3.5 years. They thought they lost him on the cross. Then they were amazed and thrilled at his resurrection, and then as he appeared to them, and he had told them all those things that were going to happen. He told them he was going to the cross. He told them that he was going to go to the Father. He told them all these things, and yet they, like us, don't believe because we don't understand. How can that be? So here, these are almost his last words to them. In John chapter 14, beginning in verse 16 through 18, I'll just read it. Jesus said to them, as he was talking to them after he washed their feet, before they went into the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was telling them, he just poured his heart out to them. He said, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So he's telling them, I'm going away physically, but I am not going away from you. You will have my presence through the Holy Spirit here with you. I can only be with you physically right here where we are, but the Holy Spirit can be with you no matter where you are, and it can be with all of you at the same time. Romans 8:9 refers to the Spirit of Christ. And Isaiah 11, he speaks of the Spirit of Christ. So you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're three in one, but each one is very unique in their ministry and how they reveal themselves. But he's just reassuring the disciples and us, all his disciples, throughout all this time, since he talked to them face to face, saying to them, I'm going to send you out. This is what your ministry is going to be. And I'm sending you out, but you won't be alone. My Spirit will be with you, protecting you, providing for you, leading you, giving you knowledge and words to speak as you preach the gospel. He assured them that they would have his spiritual presence. Now, it was very confusing for them because they didn't know how that was all going to work. We look back, we know how it worked and how it works. And he told them, lo, I am with you, not I will be with you. I was with you and I will be with you. No, I am with you. Just as God spoke to Moses at the burning bush, I am. I was, I am past, I am present, I am future, I am all those things all together. They're all the same. To me, God says, they're all the same. God doesn't, there is no past with God, there's no present, there's no future. I mean, it's all the same. I am. Jesus spoke to his disciples and he gave them, again, the Great Commission. In their ministry, for their ministry, we're all called to serve. We all have ministries. And he speaks and he says, I am with you. I am ever present. They would not go forth alone or unaided in their service. And that's a good word for us in case we have forgotten. We're never alone. He is always with us, and he equips us, whatever he's called us to in our service to him. Now, God spoke to several people in the Old Testament about his presence. He spoke to Jacob, is this screen number one, Jacob in Genesis 28:15, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. And as we read through these are promises for us. He spoke to this specific person, but his word is for his children, his disciples. God spoke to the children of Israel through Moses in Deuteronomy 31:6-8. Be strong and of good courage. They were going to enter into the promised land. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, whoever lives in this promised land that you're going to have to fight for. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Now, Moses said that to him in verse 6 and then in verse 8. He just repeated it because they need to hear it and we need to hear it. That's God speaking to me, to you, that he will be with us. I am with you. Wherever you go, I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Don't be afraid. God spoke to Joshua in 1:5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. And by the Spirit, in 1 Corinthians 28:20, the Spirit spoke through King David to his son Solomon, and he said, be strong and of good courage and do it, which means you build this temple, you be king, be strong, be of good courage, do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord my God, for the Lord God my God will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. That promise only God can speak. People leave us. Sometimes it's bad, sometimes it's in death, sometimes, you know. God is the only one who can say it and mean it. He's not gonna leave us. He is not gonna forsake us. He is with us always. The Lord spoke through Isaiah in chapter 43, when you pass through the waters, not if you, when you pass through the waters, because we are all gonna go through trials. So when you are going through that trial, pass through the water, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Why? Because I am with you. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, his presence is always with us. God gave Ezekiel a vision of what the new city and the new temple would be during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And he speaks that, describes it in chapters 40 through 48 of the book of Ezekiel. The very last verse of the book, Ezekiel writes, the name of the city that day shall be Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Probably a lot of you have studied the names of God, so what we call the names of God, Jehovah Shammah, it's the Lord is there. He is there. He is there with you. He's there with me. He is in this room. He's always with us. All the promises that God spoke, that we just read, again, they're given to us also. To all of us. And when I just read through those verses, and I read through them a lot because I was studying and putting this together, that does my heart good. I want to hear that. I want to hear those verses over and over and over and over. Okay, he said that to you, he said that to you, he said that to you, he's saying that to me. And it reassures me, and it just confirms what I know, but I'm reassured. And it just, it comes to life. I hope it is to you too. Jesus said, lo, and I like that word lo before it. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Always is always. There's no pause. There's no break. There's no time limit. It's always. Sometimes, if you remember, as a new mom, you always had a toddler following you everywhere. It's that kind of always. God is present with you always. Yes, even in the bathroom. It's okay. The writer of the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 13:5, reminds us, "For he himself, God himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." We just read all those verses from the Old Testament. I will never leave you or forsake you, over and over and over again. Here we are in the New Testament, and he just said, God himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never, ever leave you. Jesus is ever present. And the relationship with that we have with the God of the universe, with Jesus Christ, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit, he is ever present with us, surrounding us, dwelling in us, leading us. We are never, ever, ever alone. Now, you may feel lonely. Some people feel lonely a lot, but you are never, ever alone. Speaking of feelings, is his presence, knowing his presence, he is ever present, is that a feeling that we feel? And that's how we know? Because I feel his presence. I remember at one point years ago, somebody visiting the church from more of a Pentecostal background came in and said they knew the Spirit was here because they could feel the Spirit during worship. And then you have other people say, I don't feel the Spirit during worship. Is feeling the Spirit the criteria of knowing that the Spirit is there or that Jesus is present with us? Is it a feeling? It can be a feeling. God's given us emotions and feelings, so it can be. I like to use the word I sense rather than I feel. It can be, but that is not how we know that he is present. And it's not how we know that he is ever present, that he will never leave us or forsake us, is because I feel like he won't. No, because guess what? There are a lot of times where you don't feel much of anything, especially as women. It is by faith, God said it, it's the truth, and we need to believe it. Believe him and walk by faith, not feelings ever, ever, ever. We don't make decisions based on feelings. We do. I mean, look in your closet. Or bigger purchases, or sometimes it's even who you marry. I mean, that's not good. Don't make a decision based on feelings. We walk by faith, not by sight, and not by feelings. Years ago, when I wasn't a brand new Christian, but I probably wasn't as mature in the Lord as I should have been. I was still very young age-wise. I experienced my big trial at that time. Everybody goes through trials. We go through little trials, we go through bigger trials, whatever, and what's a trial to you may not be a trial to me. This was my biggie. This was the one that was, at that time, the hardest thing I had ever gone through. Now, I'll share it with you, and you're going to think, oh my word, what a baby. And I was. I'll admit it. It was like Job said, that which I feared most came upon me, and that which I dreaded had happened to me. I had to have an unexpected surgery. Probably half the room, 90% of the room, has had a surgery before. Maybe it's a big deal, maybe it's not to you. I have no idea. But at that age, back then, that was huge for me because I had gone my entire life saying, I will never go under general anesthesia. Not, I will never have a surgery. I will never go under general anesthesia. That was a big fear for me. Not because I might die. Who cares? That was not it for me. It was because I am not aware if I am under general anesthesia. I don't know what these people are doing to my body. That really, really terrified me. You know, sometimes you watch movies you shouldn't watch. And then I had one very well-meaning person say something that they ought not have said. And that was a nurse, and she should not have said that to me. So it was terrifying that they were going to make me do this. There would be a certain amount of time that I would have no memory of, that I would not know what was happening. Now, I used to be a very light sleeper, so I knew what was happening all night long. I could hear my kids breathe. I was very aware all the time. And I remember the first time I slept through the night like a big girl, like you're supposed to, you know, like you go to sleep and you wake up in the morning. I woke up in the morning, I was terrified. What happened last night? I was asleep. I don't know what happened. Somebody could have come in here. So that's, you know, I admit that I am very weird. I have quirks that are ridiculous, but this was one of them. So it was a huge trial. It was huge. So I was desperate to feel God's presence. I knew him. I knew the word. I wanted to feel him. And I did not feel him at all. I wanted him to speak to me. I wanted him to give me a verse. I wanted to be reassured that I'll be in that operating room. I'll know what's going on, okay? I'm in charge here. But I didn't. I didn't feel that. I didn't hear that at all. It was very scary to me. I had heard stories of Christians who were in similar circumstances, maybe not a surgery, maybe something much worse, that, you know, then they said, God, where are you? And he just gave them that big hug and that all those feelings and promises and everything. And yes, he came through. And so I went into the operating room like a, you know, with my sword in my hand, okay, kind of a thing. Well, I wanted that, and it didn't happen. Not at all. It was scary. It was silence. I was talking to the Lord, and I got nothing. Silence, complete silence. I don't know if that's happened to you before in any kind of a trial or any kind of a time during your walk where it's just silence. That's not fun. He speaks to me all the time. I hear him all the time. We talk all the time. And when you have silence, that's scary. So here I was in my little hospital gown that ties in the back, laying on the gurney or whatever they call that. And then they wheel you, you know, if you've got your hair in the little thingy, and they wheel you, line you up with all the other patients waiting to go in to the unknown. And I just thought, oh, this is just ridiculous. We're all lined up like a piece of meat getting rolled in there. Sorry if I'm offending anybody in the medical profession. And I just said, Lord, Where are you? And with that little, tiny, still, small, quiet, very quiet voice, he said, I'm here. That was it. There was no fireworks. There was no feeling. And I hate to say that I said, that's it. No emotion, no tinglies, no, I mean, it was just like, and then it went silent after that. And I said, okay, you spoke to me, okay, you're here. All right, I'll take what I can get. You are here. There we go. I believe. Well, afterward, you know, you go through all the recovery and all that. Oh, get me home, get me out of here. And I told Damien, if you don't pick me up, I'm taking a taxi. I want to go home. I felt like a complete failure. Okay, a big baby, because I was. I completely failed. I was a baby. I know that now. At the time, you don't think you are, but then, you know, it wasn't too long afterward where you realize, okay, you're a big baby. You didn't get your way. Where's your faith? You know, all that kind of thing. But then I heard someone say, in a whole different context, it was just like a week, 2 weeks later, he's talking about failure. But if you've learned from that, it is a successful failure. And the Lord spoke to me, Karen, that was a successful failure because you learned to walk by faith, not by sight and not by feelings. That was huge. That was a huge lesson in my life. So I'm very thankful I was a big baby to learn that. I learned a big punch, you know. I didn't have to learn it in little bits. Just like, okay, because I happen to have a lot of emotions. I don't let them out very often. But they're in my head all the time. You know, they're just doing this, and all over the place. And I needed to learn how to walk by faith. It doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter. Do it anyway. Believe anyway. He said it, and I'm so thankful for that. He's here. I'm here. I'm here. Just very quietly. Maybe you needed to hear that. One person maybe just needed to hear that and be reminded of that. And that's why I share that. You think you're alone? You think he doesn't care? You think he left you? And you have to do this? And you have to take care of this? And why is this horrible thing happening to me? No, he's right there with you. Every step of the way. I will never leave you or forsake you. There is never a moment where Jesus is not with you. You're never alone. His eye is always upon you. His love and protection surround you. That famous Footprints poem or story or whatever it might be, where, you know, this is very condensed, paraphrased version, where the person, you know, I might have said, Lord, you weren't with me. I looked back and there's only one set of footprints in the sand. And that was a horrible time. Where were you? And he says, those are my footprints. I was carrying you. Jesus is always, always with us. I am the becoming one. He reveals himself to us in the way we need for whatever moment that is. And as we've looked through these Jesus is, these whatever you want to call them, they're not his name, but the characteristics of of Jesus, and we just scratched the surface. We looked at 8. There are so many more. But he reveals himself in that way when we need that. The bridegroom, we started out in September with Jesus is the bridegroom. He's coming soon. And we learn about his love and his righteous jealousy for us, his faithfulness to us. He will never, ever be unfaithful, ever. His provision, his protection, and his promise that he will meet his bride at the altar in the air when we hear that trump and he snatches us, raptures us out of here. He reveals himself to us when we need that. We need that extra assurance. We know he's here as the bridegroom. He's the mighty warrior. He fights for us. He will not allow anyone to snatch us out of his hand. Can't happen. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. He battles for us. He's our advocate. He's our protector and our deliverer. And then he comes to us as the good shepherd. That just speaks love and tender loving care over us as he leads us. He knows what we need and he leads us to that place where he wants us to go. Even into the valley of the shadow of death, he is there. He's our protector, and he leads us into green pastures and still waters. He reveals himself to us as the Prince of Peace. First off, providing peace with God, because he went to the cross, paid that price for our salvation. We have peace with God, but then he said, peace I give to you, my peace I give to you. We would know no peace if Jesus weren't with us. The fact that we have any kind of peace speaks that he is there. He is with us, and he leads us by his peace. And what a comfort that is. And he also reveals himself to us as the Alpha and the Omega. He's always been here. I am the first. I am the last. I am the beginning. I am the end. I've always been here. I will always be here. And in that, he is intimately acquainted with all of our ways. Psalm 139 tells us that. He knows our thoughts before we think them. He knows the number of hairs on our head that change all the time because he's present. He's current. He's present right with us. He's the rock. He has given us a firm foundation. Sometimes the world and it's all crazy and all that, and he's our rock. I love This Is My Father's World. I'm glad Lucy's brought that out of the attic of hymns. It's just a beautiful song. It's that last verse that I never knew. I actually learned the first verse when I was in fifth grade in public school. Weird. But Mrs. Uboldi, she was my fifth grade teacher. It was my hardest year ever in school. I didn't like that teacher. For some reason, I don't remember why, I really had a hard time. However, she taught me that song. I wasn't a Christian, wasn't at all, but I've always sang that first verse. Always, all my life, I have sang that verse. So thank you, Mrs. Uboldi. But that last verse is just like, no, he's the rock. He's there's safety, there's refuge in him. Then we looked at the name above all names, which is every name and all his names, and it's powerful. He is powerful. This is who is ever present with us. He is powerful. And his name declares his nature. Remember that? He is merciful. He is gracious. He is long-suffering. He is forgiving, which moves us into the merciful, gracious forgiver. giving us salvation. His blood has saved us. His blood has washed us. His blood has removed our sin, and his mercies and his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. He is with us in the night. The God of Israel doesn't slumber or sleep. He doesn't even blink. His eye is always upon his people. So he's present with us through the night. He's watching over us. We wake up in the morning to him. He's should be the first thing we think about, the first person we think of, the first person we talk to. He is there. I am so thankful that he is there. What would we do? What would we do without his presence? What would we do if we couldn't talk to him anytime we want, knowing that he's right here? You can say, oh, I need to tell my friend this, and she's not there. Well, I can tell Jesus whatever I want right at that moment. It's just a wonderful thing. You just talk to him all the time. People think you're crazy in the grocery store or in the car or wherever you are. But I don't know, the older I get, I don't care. I am crazy, okay? But I'm talking to Jesus and he's right here with me. Oh, I love it. And if we have experienced Jesus in any of these ways or all these ways, we know without a doubt, he's with us. He's with me. And that brings security and it brings comfort. God promised his presence to Moses that he would go with him and lead him as he's leading into the promised land. He said, my presence will go with you. And what did Moses say? If your presence doesn't go, don't bring us up from here. I'm not going without you. His presence means that much. It's something I pray before I stand up here. Lord, if you don't go with me out here, I've got no business being up here. So it's like a clinging to the hem of his garment, which is good, but at the same time, he is here and he's going to be here. He cannot not be here. See where my mind goes? So we never have to fear. We are never alone. He will never leave us or forsake us. And maybe you just needed to be reminded of that. I did. Father, thank you. Thank you for who you are, for what you have done. Jesus, thank you for who you are and what you have done. We thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit. When you physically left this earth, you sent your Holy Spirit, and that your Holy Spirit dwells in us, and he surrounds us, and he comes upon us. We are blessed people. We are privileged people. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, for being the great I am, for revealing yourself, your nature to us. And Lord, I pray that you would take all these things that we've studied this year, every bit of your word that we've looked at, and that you would plant it deep within our hearts. And that the next time when we feel lonely or we think we are alone because there isn't anybody around, will you help us to remember that we are not alone? You are there. We praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.